sin and before God took Moses to heaven for his disobedience with the rock. And remember, he said there in verse 2, my doctrine. So far we've looked at three doctrines in this song. The first doctrine was the person of God in the early part. The second doctrine was that the Father watches over his children. And the third doctrine is his children had no faith and therefore forsook him. We looked at that last week. Tonight's doctrine is that God's children did not consider where their behavior would lead them. So notice down in verse 23 where we finished last week in Deuteronomy 32, he says, I will heap mischiefs upon them. I will spend mine arrows upon them. They shall be burnt with hunger and devoured with burning heat. And with bitter destruction, I will also send the teeth of beasts upon them with the poison of serpents of the dust. The sword without and terror within shall destroy both the young man and the virgin, the suckling also with the man of gray hairs. I said I would scatter them into the corners. I would make the remembrance of them to cease from among men. Were it not that I feared the wrath of the enemy, lest their adversaries should behave themselves strangely, and lest they should say, our hand is high, and the Lord hath not done all this. For they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up? So our title from verse 29, that they would consider their latter end. Let's pray. How we love you and praise you, Lord, for this privilege to open your word and hear from you tonight from this amazing song that you wrote. And may we learn, Lord, this great truth that we reap what we sow. So have your will and way in our hearts. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Did you notice that God is already warning them about specific chastisement? Verse 23, mischief. Verse 24, hunger and destruction. Verse 25, the sword and terror. Verse 26, scattering. None of that sounds very pleasant, does it? This is what God says he's going to do. He didn't do it right away, praise God, but he did. Eventually, they went through every single one of these punishments. And God explains there in verse 27 that they would have been more severe except that God had a testimony to protect. Notice he says, were it not that I feared the wrath of the enemy. Now that's not saying that God feared the enemy. But what he feared was that the enemy would take credit for God's chastisement. And God wanted everyone to understand that it came directly from him. And so that is the reason he's giving here, that he did not destroy them for their backslidings. He didn't want those heathen nations to say, look what we did. And so he restrained the intensity of the chastisement to protect his testimony. Isn't that interesting? And God does the same with us. Think of where we would be if God punished us in the measure that we deserve every time that we sinned. We would be in pretty bad shape, wouldn't we? Well, we'd all be dead. Let's be real. And that's New Testament as well. 1 Corinthians 5:5, if you want to turn there quickly. There are times when God reaches his limit and says, that's enough. And he makes a decision that his child won't listen. His child's behavior is so damaging to God's testimony that the only answer for God is to take that person to heaven, which is the ultimate chastisement. But what is the purpose of it? To protect his testimony. 1 Corinthians 5:5, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Now, we looked at this Wednesday night when we were looking at Paul's explanation about what leads to shipwreck. But this man in this particular chapter was living with his mother-in-law. Everybody knew about it, and it was affecting the testimony of the church at Corinth. And Paul said, you as a church need to deal with this. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. You need to get rid of them so that God's testimony is not harmed. So this is public sin that was bringing shame upon the name of the church at Corinth. God through Paul said, deliver him to Satan. Now, if you go to 1 Timothy 1:20, where we were Wednesday night, Paul said the same thing about these two men, Hymenaeus and Alexander. 1 Timothy 1:20. He's talking here about shipwreck and what leads to it. We talked about this Wednesday night. But he says in verse 20, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. We talked about how blasphemy is not just blaspheming the name of God, but our behavior can be blasphemy as well, as we saw in the scriptures Wednesday night. And so for you and I, if you go to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 31, we need to understand that God's testimony is important to Him. Amen? And that we are His representatives, we are His ambassadors, we are His children. And He wants us to, as He says in the scriptures, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. He wants our lives, our testimony to back up our profession. We claim to be Christians. He wants us to act like Christians. That's why it says here in 1 Corinthians 11:31 that if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. So God is saying we need to constantly be judging ourselves, comparing ourselves to Jesus, comparing ourselves to the scriptures. He says if we'll do that, we won't be judged. But if we won't do that, verse 32, when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. Look at this next phrase, that we should not be condemned with the world. Again, God's protecting His testimony. And that's what He's saying to Israel. He's saying this future punishment that's coming, because I already know what you're going to do when you go into the promised land. You're going to disobey me. You don't have the faith. You aren't thinking ahead. And eventually I'm going to have to chastise you. But I have to do it in a way that the nations surrounding you can't say, we did this. Because I don't want them taking credit for my chastisement. Isn't that interesting? So back to our passage, here was the problem. Number 28, they were void of counsel. And number 29, they were void of wisdom. How sad. They had the Word of God now, given to them directly through Moses. So they had the understanding available to them. They had the wisdom available to them. You and I, even today, as we talked about in Sunday school this morning, where do we get our understanding? Where do we get our wisdom? From God, from God's Word. And because they did not have the counsel or understanding or the wisdom that God wanted them to have, verse 29, they did not consider their latter end. That's doctrine number 4. They did not just stop and contemplate, where will my current behavior lead? Sometimes we just need to stop and just ask that question. If I carry on down this path, where's it going to lead? What's the end game here? What's going to happen? And he says they wouldn't do it. Oh, that they would, he said. Oh, that they would consider their latter end, but they didn't. And this is a scriptural truth all through the Bible. Let's look at some verses. Deuteronomy 28, verse 15. Remember, this chapter gave the blessings and the cursings. Obedience versus disobedience once they went into the promised land. Verse 15 begins the cursing section. He says, "But if it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee." All these curses. It's a scriptural principle. Look at Hosea 8, verse 7, right after the book of Daniel. Hosea chapter 8 and verse 7. "For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind." Amen? Galatians 6, 7. "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." God is saying to them, they won't consider. They will not just stop and reflect and say, where is my current behavior going to lead me? They said they just carried on, and it led to chastisement. When we get to the New Testament, go to Luke 12, verse 20, we find a rich man who wouldn't do the same. He wouldn't consider his latter end. All he cared about was living for the now. And so he got richer. And rather than stop and saying, what should I do with all this? He said, I'm just going to build bigger barns to store all of my stuff. And God says, Luke 12, 20, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided?" It's time for the reckoning. And you've been a fool. You didn't just stop and consider that all this hoarding, where it was going to lead. What did it lead to? Nothing. Him going to hell and giving it to someone else. We see it again in Luke 16, if you want to look there, verse 24. Another rich man, both of these rich men that Jesus used, one was a parable, one was an actual story that happened. But here in Luke 16, verse 24, we have this rich man who died and went to hell. And back in those days, God allowed the people in hell to speak to Abraham across a great gulf fixed, probably the bottomless pit, we don't know for sure. And it says in verse 24, he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." But Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he's comforted and thou art tormented." It says, do you remember when you had all that money, all those riches? Remember those days? You never just stopped and considered your soul. You never stopped and considered where your current life was leading you. Now that you're dead and you're in hell, it's too late. And so it's a New Testament principle. It's an Old Testament principle. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. God said in his doctrine number 4 of Israel, that they would consider, that they would just stop and contemplate their latter end. They would just stop and think about where their current behavior is leading them. But God says the same to us. You go to the New Testament, we have 150 commands, do's and don'ts. There's plenty of both. But God even shares with us the consequences of not considering our latter end. Let's think of some examples. Where do you think self-righteousness leads? God says, he that exalteth himself shall be abased. That's where it leads. God abasing you, pushing you down. Where does pride lead? It leads to strife, the Bible says. It leads to God resisting you. Where does bitterness lead? Hebrews 12 says, lest a root of bitterness defile many. Bitterness leads to not only your prayer life being hindered, but you even hindering others' Christian lives. Where does a temper lead? A hot temper. God says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that's broken down and without walls. So he's likening our soul to a city that's lost all protection. Because the walls, it was everything when it was only bows and arrows and swords. And God says when we don't rule our spirit, we don't have any protection. The devil's ruling. Lack of faith, Hebrews 3:12, an evil heart leads us to what? Depart from God. Complaining. We saw that enough in Israel, didn't we? Moaning, complaining. When we complain, what does it lead to? It leads to us fretting against the Lord and God having to deal with us. Complacency or idleness. It says, an idle soul shall suffer hunger. I'm just giving you examples. We could go on all night, couldn't we? These things are just areas where we need to consider our latter end. Where is this going to lead me? If I keep behaving this way, where does hatefulness lead? Where does neglecting our prayer life lead? Jesus said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Where does unfaithfulness lead? It leads to going backward in our Christian walk. That's just, a dozen examples out of probably 50? God said, that they would just stop and consider their latter end. Stop and consider where my current behavior, non-biblical behavior, will lead. And so many Christians won't do that. They just plow forward in their self-justification and thinking, it's all good. And then when God brings that rod out, they're like, what? Why did God do that? Well, because you didn't stop and consider your latter end. I mean, Israel, when God finally did start chastising them, they were very surprised. They said, God, you gave us this land, and now we've gone into this land. Why are you punishing us? Because they didn't consider their latter end. You know what's sad? Is that the world doesn't consider their latter end. Amen? That they're going to hell. And they don't stop and think about it. Now the Bible says, light has come into the world, men love darkness rather than light. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, and neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. John 3:19-20. The world doesn't just stop and think, where is this going to lead, this ignoring God, this not caring what God says? It's going to lead to hell. That's where it's going to lead. Just take 5 minutes and stop and think, maybe I should consider where this is leading, and maybe I should trust Jesus Christ as my Savior, amen, and get rescued from my sin and the consequences of my sin. And so doctrine number 4 in this song, what an amazing song, is, oh, that they would consider their latter end. They did not, and their behavior led to mischief, hunger, destruction, sword, terror, and scattering. What a list. And that's just 23-26. They were void of counsel, verse 28. They were void of wisdom, verse 29. God said, oh, that they would consider. Oh, that they would just stop and think about where their current behavior will lead. God says the same to us. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Amen? So we must always stop and consider, where will this current behavior lead? And maybe we need to change it. Amen? That they would consider their latter end. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word and for again teaching us from this amazing song, this doctrine, Lord, of you reap what you sow. And I pray, Lord, that we would constantly be consulting you, as we're told there in Psalm 139, and asking you to show us areas in our lives, Lord, that we need to stop and consider where any sinful behavior will lead, what the end result will be, and we would change. Thank you for speaking to us through your word. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.